Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bethel Covenant Church podcast, where we host the latest sermons and other programming. You can also visit us on Facebook and YouTube to watch videos of our sermons, checking up with the latest updates, and to view further programming. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at bethelcov.org. Thank you for listening to this program.
I'm going to have a series of distorted or blurred pictures, and just to see if you can guess what the picture is. Well, it's blurred. Some of it, oh yeah, look at that. Well, it was a little tougher there, but... Spring is coming, muddy spring, farm truck there. Some of these you can kind of see. Bonus points if you know what the flower is. Well, I have it as a common blue violet, which is the Wisconsin state flower. Yeah, I couldn't get that one any more blurry. This is the Wisconsin state bird. Wisconsin state coffee? Hailed from Minnesota. I almost took this one out. But I thought, no, the church is the place to talk about real life. Someone asked me yesterday, what are you doing this weekend? And I said, I'm going to be watching some football. Well, who are you cheering for? Well, surprisingly, I'm cheering for the Packers, actually. And then I texted my brothers, cheering for the Packers is like cheering for the Vikings. Game ends in a disappointing turnover. They had a chance. So if you want to blame someone, blame Pastor. Why did Packers lose? Pastor was cheering for them, brought the Vikings curse. Today we are ending our series of looking at just four different names of God, and it's really important to have an accurate biblical understanding of who God is, because our understanding of who God is will directly impact how we live our life and the decisions that we make. A distorted picture of God will lead to a distorted life of faith. Last week we learned that David, as a young shepherd boy, knew God as Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of heaven's armies, the Lord Almighty, meaning it is the Lord's purposes that will prevail. And because of that knowledge and that faith, David went out to meet and fight Goliath and kill them. God killed him. God will, I will. Equally important to having an accurate view of God is to then get rid of any distorted pictures, any distorted images of God that we may have. People have, may have, you may have, I may have, some distorted pictures of God for a variety of reasons. Just like the distorted pictures we just looked at in the beginning here of the sermon, a distorted picture of God hampers our experience of Him and of life. What has occurred to me is this is an underlying goal that I have as a pastor, that we have as a church, is that whoever is here to give the message will help us have a clear picture of who God is, one that deepens our faith and deepens our trust in Him. I came across a resource that looks at six different distorted pictures that people have of God. Let's see if any of them resonate with you. The first one is that God is a God of impossible expectations. That God is a God that can't be pleased. His standards are too high, and the expectations can't be met. my resources by Dale and Juanita Ryan, Recovery from Distorted Images of God. A second distorted picture of God would be the emotionally distant God. This is when people may view God as an unfeeling, an unable, an unwilling to sympathize with humans, with individuals and our lives and our circumstances. People may wonder, does God really care? A third distorted picture of God would be the disinterested God. Now, this falls in line somewhat with the emotionally distant God, but here, this is where people may think, there are 8 billion people on earth, and God's too busy to care or to listen or to know my life. Who am I? I'm a nobody for God to be interested in me. A fourth distorted image would be that of an abusive God. This is a tough one. If people were to see God as a violent, demanding, angry God. And if he's not angry, he's about to get angry. And when he's angry, he's going to punish. A fifth distorted image of God would be the unreliable God. This is where God will do what God will do based on moods that change. His moods change, and he's going to do something different. He says one thing, he makes a promise, but then doesn't back it up. A person may actually feel God's love and care one day, and then the next day when life is different, they would say, oh, God is no longer there. God can't be counted on. He's unreliable. And the sixth one here would be the God who abandons. Again, there's some overlap, but this time, this is when a person is having a deep feeling of isolation and abandonment. And instead of feeling that peace and unconditional love that comes from God, a person would have feelings of fear and anxiety, uncertainty. God has left them. Again, equally important to having a clear view of God is to get rid of some of these distorted pictures of God. So let's go back to these and look at the reality of each one. Where God is one, maybe, that you think he's an impossible expectation, the reality is God is my righteousness and he is gracious to me. His expectations have been met and I've been declared as approved. I am free to learn through success and failure. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to the emotionally distant God, the reality is God is compassionate. He sympathizes. That means he feels with me and my trials and weaknesses. Hebrews 4:15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but as one who has been tempted in all ways and yet without sin, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find help in the time of need. When it comes to the disinterested God, the reality is God is my counselor and shepherd. Psalm 139, verses 1 and 5 here. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You hem me behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. God is interested. When it comes to the abusive thought that God may be abusive, this distorted picture, the reality is that God is a healer and defender from harm. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. That is the reality of who God is. When we think about God perhaps being an unreliable God, we see that the reality is God is faithful and unchanging. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And if we were to think that God is a God that abandons, the reality is that God is with me and will never fail or leave me. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Is there a distorted image of God that you might have? And then will you let God's word and your faith correct that image so that you can see God clearly? For you see, a distorted picture of God leads to a distorted life of faith. There's opportunities to take notes, but if at any time, and I've seen people do this at different times, if you just want to take a picture of the slide with your phone, you can do that. Remind yourself, this is who God is. In our Bible story today, we read how an angel stops Abraham from sacrificing Isaac, and then God provides a ram as a substitute sacrifice. Abraham then names the place Jehovah Jireh. That is the name of God that we're learning today, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. A very important image for us to have of God. We have a God who provides. But even in that, we can have a distorted image of what this means, a distorted view of this aspect of God. When we think about this aspect of God, the distorted image, first of all, isn't one where God just is dispensing goods. To understand provision or provides, as we read it in English, is not the best description of what Abraham meant in the story when he named that place, when he used the name Jehovah Jireh. A more literal translation for provide is to see or to see to it. And we can think of it this way. If a boss at work wanted an area cleaned up, they would go and ask the manager to get it done. And the manager would say, I will see to it. It will be done. And then the manager tells the workers to clean the area. And then reports back to the boss that it's finished. The manager provided a clean work area, or they saw to it. They saw that it was done. This is what that word means here in this setting. Here we see how the Lord provided a ram as a substitute sacrifice for Abraham. He made sure that the need was met by the ram to have a sacrifice, no longer needing Isaac to be sacrificed. And this whole story is a foreshadowing of the need that humanity has, where we need a substitute sacrifice on our behalf for sin and for the penalty of sin, which God provides through his son Jesus. It's very understandable when we read that the Lord provides to mean that he is the one who will dispense goods. But we can see how it's really important to keep digging as Bible readers and believers to know what the writers meant by the words that they used. And in this case, it isn't that the Lord dispenses goods, provides in that way per se. It means that the Lord will see it or see to it. A second way our image of God is distorted, if we think about this aspect of God, is if we were to see him as one who does nothing more than just dispense goods, much like a vending machine. Vending machines are great. They're great self-help inventions for people to satisfy their immediate needs, either hunger or thirst. A person can get something sweet or salty, depending what they are in the mood for. The machine has clear glass with all sorts of options, and a person can look and see, do they want pop or water or juice? Might a person want candy or a bag of chips or gum? There are now even vending machines with sandwiches and salads and little bags of almonds, so a person could make healthy choices. A person scans all the options, puts in the money, or swipes the credit card, hits the letters and the number D7, the machine turns its spiral arm for the candy bar to fall down to the bottom. You reach in, and ta-da, you got exactly what you wanted from the machine. You swiped your credit card, or you put in more money, and then you can get another item, and another item, and you walk away from the machine, knowing that it will be there tomorrow just to give you what you need. What a great invention. When we walk up to the machine, we can look at all of our choices and choose what we want for ourselves in that one moment in time. This is not how God works as the one who provides. To see God as a vending machine is to have a distorted image of God. God, unlike the vending machine, has a will, has a direction, has a thought, some wisdom for our life. Give the right amount of money, push the right buttons, and the machine will give you what you ask for. This is not how God works. Though at times we may act as if he did or should. I gave money, I pushed the buttons, I came to church. Where's my candy bar, God? Well, we can and need to go to God to get. The way our relationship with God works, ideally, is to go to God for him to show us what we need, to show us the way, to show us what to do. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevails. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. There's a funny thing about vending machines as I think about this analogy. Sometimes the vending machine doesn't give you what you ask for. The item gets stuck. Now the machine, they didn't will that to happen, but we may conclude, well, I guess I wasn't supposed to get that candy bar. Or we just go to the next machine and get the candy bar anyways, or go to the store. Now the story of Abraham, Isaac, and the angel of God providing the ram, that isn't the only story that we could read. There are many other stories and passages and verses that tell us to go to God when we have needs. In fact, this is the advice that I would give you as a pastor. And what I have sort of always known, but really because of writing this sermon and thinking about the message, I'm able to articulate, I have a two-tiered goal when it comes to being a pastor and providing messages and doing teachings from the Bible. And I would say these are goals that we have as a church as well. And the two-tiered goal, it would be one, for people to come to faith, and the second is for people to have a mature faith or continue to grow in faith. Now, I'm a little bit of in a rabbit hole here, but I'm going to connect this to the greater message. While the goal is to understand the depth of God, we may unfortunately never completely understand the full nature of God this side of heaven. Paul reminds us of this in his letter to Corinth. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So in some ways, our picture of God will always be a bit blurred. But I think it can be clear in many ways, very clear. This is just emphasizing the point that we want as clear as possible that picture, the best biblical, accurate understanding of God. Going to God as if he was a vending machine, only to get what we want, when we want it, because we did the right acts at the right time to produce the right result we were hoping for, that is a distorted picture of the nature of God. And yet, we see this morning that the Lord will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. And as we read our Bible, we read in James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask God. In John 14:14, you may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. If the goal is a mature faith, which it is, this means that we will be people of the Word, we will know the Word, we will trust the Word, and base our lives on the Word. So we go to God and ask. And as mature followers of Christ, we also can see in our experiences and the stories of the Bible that people do not always get what they ask for, because God is not a vending machine. A person with a growing faith knows this. These verses that are about asking and getting need to be taken together with all the other verses in the Bible. When Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, he says to pray this: "Your kingdom, God, your kingdom come, God, your will be done." In James 4, we read, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." And the person of Job is another great example of a growing, mature faith when he responds to his wife, who tells him to rebuke God and be mad at him because of all those losses that Job went through. Job says, "Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" The growing, mature faith knows that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him. I would really like to fit God and God's provision to fit in a either-or thinking. It's either this or it's this, but it doesn't. It can't. There's a complexity here. When we ask, we are to be open to God's will, knowing that whatever happens, God will use. And there's even more layers to going to God, to asking God for provision. Matthew 6:8, "Your Father in heaven knows what you need even before you ask him." And then further on, Jesus teaching, "So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father, he knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So we can see the complexity of going to God as the one who provides. We can see that complexity when we read that we are to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Is that what each of us are seeking first? Is that my highest priority? We are reminded in James 4:3, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." If at this point in the message you are wondering, well, where does that leave us? Success. Here's where I think it leaves us. We are to go to God because God does provide. When we go to God, we are to go with motives, attitude, and a heart that aligns with his will, his purposes, and his plans. It is God's kingdom that we seek first. There's an understanding and an acknowledgement that we often have wrong motives of going to God, asking for something to only satisfy our human desires. And it is in our faith that we know that God has our best in mind, that he gives or takes away. It is by faith that we know that God will use all situations for good. And we understand and trust that there is no unredeemable situation and there is no need that cannot be met by God. Going to God with our needs isn't about our needs getting met. It's about going to God. That's what it's about. Our number one need is a spiritual need. Because of sin in our lives and in the world, we are slaves to sin and under the curse of sin. Because of sin, we are separated from God and do not have peace with God. Because of sin, our experience of life is distorted, and our image of God is distorted. Our number one spiritual need is to pay that penalty of sin, to take away our sin, to have a substitute sacrifice for our sin and for the sins of the world. This is the story of Abraham and Isaac. It is a foreshadowing of Jesus who was provided to us by God. 1 John 1:29 tells us that Jesus is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He pays the penalty. He is the substitute. He makes us clean and righteous before God so that we no longer have to live distorted lives or have a distorted picture of God. They say perception is reality. And while, yes, that's true, one's perception is their reality, but perception in general is not reality. And this is clear when it comes to a distorted image of God. If our distorted perception of God was reality, it's just a distorted image of God. God wants us to know that He is more than God Creator, the All-Powerful One, Elohim. God is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord is the heaven's armies whose purposes will prevail. And He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. It is good to be following and worshiping a God who knows what we need, even before we ask Him. The God we know and worship is the God who provides, meets our spiritual need as we place our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when that need is met, as that need is met, we begin to see how God provides for all other needs as well. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, for Your servants, for the story of Abraham, for his faith, for that test, for the tests in our lives, Lord. Each day has a little test in and of itself. May we be faithful. Forgive us for times where we don't think You're going to provide or have a distorted image of You. May our understanding and faith be clear and direct our lives in such a way that You would be glorified and that we get to experience You in deeper level. Thank You for meeting our need, that spiritual need for forgiveness of sins and no longer a slave to sin. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.